Good morning. It's good to see you all and to be with you. You may be surprised to find out or to know that we've actually done quite a few weddings at Christ Church this year. That is unexpected in some ways because, generally speaking, things have just been canceled and moved and transferred and postponed and all sorts of stuff, which they have. All of those weddings have taken place over the last couple of months. Those who were planning on getting married in April or June or something like that have ended up having their weddings here in November or so, in December. This weekend, we had two weddings. We had a rehearsal on Thursday, a rehearsal on Friday, a wedding on Friday, and a wedding on Saturday. How's that for weddings? Woo! Now, all that postponing and all that transferring and all that changing and all that chaos, how do you imagine that made mothers of brides feel or brides themselves? It's been a chaotic year for everyone. So with all that chaos, with all that challenge, with all that upheaval, you would think perhaps that that could taint the experience of a wedding. Having done a few of these now since August, I will tell you that there's been perhaps no greater moment of joy than when two persons finally make their way to that altar. It's been incredible to watch. From my vantage point, I get to peek out into the congregation who's there to support them and to witness to the love that God's placed in their heart, and I can see their faces beaming as they bear witness to that joy. It's the sort of face that tells me that if I preach for too long, their cheeks might permanently cramp into the position of a smile, which for some of them would be a really good look, and perhaps they would have wanted me to preach a little bit longer. No matter what has surrounded the occurrence of us gathering together, the moment that the bride and groom make their way to that place, all the other stuff gets brushed away. As we singularly focus on joy and love, everything else gets brushed away, no matter how challenging it is. This, I think, is an experience that's well known to a lot of us, whether it happens at a wedding or somewhere else. But in weddings in particular, I think it's well known to us. And I think it's for this reason that so many, maybe even most of the authors of the Bible who want to reference God's eventual final redemptive acts that put an end to all the tears in our life, they make references to weddings in particular. We even catch a little bit of that in today's reading from Isaiah. It's going to be like a bride decked out, ready for the bridegroom. A bridegroom suited up to impress the bride. This is the joy, the singular focus on joy, and the power of practicing that joy. To practice that joy is something sometimes tricky, I think. A little bit challenging to practice joy, because it's not always about feeling joyful. Sometimes it's just about bearing witness to a light that cannot be overcome. This is, I think, exactly what John the Baptist does. If we could have read that verse that preceded the verse that started ours today, the light that John the Baptist is testifying to is the light that has entered into the world that will never let darkness overcome it. It's verse 5 of the first chapter of the Gospel of John. If you really want to hear it read publicly instead of just read it on your own, you can come at 10 o'clock on Christmas Day. I'll see you there. I actually will not see you there. Father Andres will see you there. I'll be in my pajamas. The light that is love, made manifest in human form, has come into the world. The perfect display of God's goodness and God's faithfulness and God's loyalty to humanity. The perfect display of God's love and God's justice is made known in Jesus. The darkness will never overcome that, no matter how dark the darkness might be. And this is the light that John the Baptist testifies to. John the Baptist will know darkness. John the Baptist will, in fact, give his life to testify to that very same light. He knows how challenging it will be, and he does it anyway. It's his mission, his singular focus. He makes the choice constantly to choose the light, to choose that joy. So singular is his focus that it makes its way into art. Any of you who have ever looked at medieval art of John the Baptist, you know the easiest way to recognize the figure of John the Baptist? He's the one with his finger pointing to wherever Jesus is in the painting. It's a little art history lesson for those of you who might need it. It doesn't matter how old Jesus is or John the Baptist is. John the Baptist will always be doing this, and he will always be pointing wherever Jesus is, including when Jesus is in utero. He's just going to be pointing right at the belly button of Mary every single time. Took his mission seriously. He is the forerunner. Not only the forerunner of Jesus, but also the forerunner of our discipleship. As we too are called to bear witness in that same way, where everything in our life says, he's over here. Look at the light. Yes, I know that there's darkness over here, but look over here. Look at this light. The darkness will never overcome it. By some accounts, I will tell you that we as a society and as people and as individuals, from time to time, we would rather bear witness to the darkness than to the light. It's a bizarre thing that we do from time to time, and we've been doing it for millennia. From time to time, we choose ashes instead of the garland of praise. We choose our sackcloth instead of our wedding gowns. We choose mourning. As the old saying goes, though, it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. And for Christians, we say that that candle, well, it was lit when God sent Jesus into the universe. As soon as Jesus enters into our human history, the candle is lit and will never go out. So we practice faith and we practice hope. We practice love. And we can choose to practice joy too, which is the equivalent of our finger constantly pointing back to that light that shines forth. Now, let me be clear. I'm not suggesting in the slightest that you should lead some sort of life of blissful ignorance where you ignore the darkness. You pretend that it's not there at all. That's silly and really unhelpful, because even as you bear witness to the light, we are called into action to help heal the world, to bring peace, to bring justice, to bring love into those places where it needs to do its healing work. But in the practice of choosing joy, we hold on to, we cling on to the promise that comes with that light. Every one of the brides and the grooms that I have had the privilege of marrying this year, and really I'm for years now, it's been the same for me. I get this chance to do premarital counseling with them and to talk with them leading into their wedding and to tell them all the secrets that I have learned in 13 years of marriage. Some of you have been married for a lot longer. If there are more secrets than the secrets that I know, please tell me, really, as quickly as possible. One of the things that I tell all of them all the time, over and over and over again, probably in every single session, is that what makes for a successful marriage is not romance or affection, but the commitment to continually choose your partner over whatever else might come up. That there may be for some a moment where they say, yeah, but this other beautiful person, woo, smart, funny, attractive, all the things. Yeah, love is to choose your spouse instead. Well, yeah, but also my job is amazing and it's fulfilling and it's wonderful. And if I put a couple of extra hours in and stay those late nights, then maybe I can secure a place for my family and I can make sure that I am the best. But are you choosing work instead of your spouse? What about my grief or my pain or my jealousy? If you're choosing that instead of your spouse, only bad will come of it. To choose, to commit yourself, to continually choose, that is the difference maker in a marriage. And you can do the same thing with joy. To continually choose joy isn't the same as always feeling happy, just like to continue to choose your spouse isn't the same as always feeling romance, but it is the difference maker. The practice of the joy is the same. We have a choice to be joyful instead of being drawn into the darkness. We have a choice to put on our wedding garment instead of the sackcloth, to choose the garland of praise instead of the ashes. The great spiritual writer Henry Nouwen speaks of this often. Henry Nouwen was well acquainted with the grief and darkness of the world around him, but also just that resides within all of us. He writes that we can be unhappy about a great many things while we still choose joy. And in fact, we probably should be unhappy about some of the things in the world, even while we choose joy. If those things sound like some sort of oxymoronic positioning between the two, I will invite you to go back to YouTube and listen to the first half of my sermon again. They are not the same, happiness and joy. And the choice of joy does not negate the unhappiness. The choice of light does not say that there is no darkness. It just changes our orientation and allows us to bear witness to it. It allows us to trust in God's goodness, to hold on to it. That goodness that says, you are God's. You are loved. God's love has entered into the world, and nothing can change that, not even death, as Romans says. Whatever may come, God's love will be there. And so whatever may come, you can choose to hold that promise. There are times in all of our lives where that is such a struggle to bear witness to the light or to hold on to or to choose joy. And that's why we are here together. When it's hard for me, I count on you to bear witness to the light. When I can't see it, when it's foggy out there like it was this morning and it's hard to tell where the light's coming from, I look to you to point and say, no, it's over here. Choose it. Hold on to this. Yes, there's darkness over here, but embrace this light. It's what it is to be a community of faith and hope and love. It's what it is to be a community of joy. The practice of joy is bearing witness to the light that will never go out, that will not be overcome by darkness, no matter how present the darkness is in our life. And so, let us be a community of joy. Let's be a community that chooses joy no matter what. Each day, let us make the commitment to bear witness to the light, to choose joy no matter what may come, and let the light that has come into this world be known as it shines brightly from the heart of this community. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.